In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, who else noticed that I actually said the wrong colic this morning? Funny about that, isn't it? Actually, the colic, and I knew that I was halfway through the colic and went, that's not the right colic. So let's actually hear the correct colic. So the colic for today is actually, O God, who before the passion of thy only begotten Son didst reveal his glory upon the holy mount, grant unto us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and to be changed into the likeness from glory to glory through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Now, it's funny because you heard that first colic, and even I'm sitting there going, wow, that was a mistake that I don't often do. However, was it really? I didn't do it intentionally, but that colic actually fits with what I wanted to talk about today with the sermon. Do we need to hear the first one again? Do you remember what it is? How about I give you homework? You can actually look the colic up in the prayer book.
But which one is it?
It is the colic for the seventh Sunday of Epiphany. I'm just going to double... Whoop, that's not... Yep, seventh Sunday after Epiphany. You don't have to look it up right now. You can take it home, but I want you to reflect on that colic as well when I talk about this sermon. So as you know, yet again, I find myself in a very interesting spot. Our Bible study that we've been going through on Wednesday nights. We got to know Simon in this last episode. Simon, who is also called Peter. Who figures prominently in today's story? Peter. Let me give you a little background on this study we're watching. This is actually Simon Peter is basically his last day as a free man because he owes the Roman taxes. He's out on the water trying to fish. All through the night, they catch absolutely nothing. He finally is ready to give up, pull into shore. He's going to throw himself on the mercy of the Romans so that his family is not wiped off the map, basically. And as he comes in, there's Jesus standing on the shore teaching people. And he hails Peter and says, Friend, can I use your boat for just a moment? These people are having difficulty hearing me, and I'd like to get a little higher and out a little bit from the shore so that they can hear me better. And Peter's brother, Simon, Andrew, not Simon, Simon is Peter. Peter's brother, Andrew, is actually yelling, Simon, this is the one that I was telling you about. This is the Messiah. Peter, against his, shall we say, better judgment, decides to listen to Christ and offer the use of his boat. Upon which we have the story of Christ saying, throw your net over there, where we have the discourse of the fishermen saying, Lord, we've been out all night. We've been throwing the net all night. We haven't caught anything. And I loved the series. The guy that plays Christ just kind of goes. Yeah, you've thrown your net all night. Throw it one more time. What's it going to hurt? And they do. And of course, they catch this huge catch of fish. So great that it actually begins to break the boat. Simon Peter is saved because he has caught enough fish to pay his and his brother's taxes. And then he begins to realize what his brother Andrew has been telling him. this is the Messiah, the one who was promised to us. Simon Peter's response to that, much like my own, to collapse in an absolute heap, just drop to his knees, "Lord, go away from me, for I am a sinful man." Christ forgives him. There is that moment in our life where we begin to realize all the wretchedness that we've done. We begin to re-experience all the malice and evil that we've created. We begin to understand what we are. Now, mind you, in many cases, that malice and evil is not intentional. It certainly wasn't for Simon Peter. It wasn't for myself. I'm sure that it wasn't for any of you. But we begin in that moment to realize that there is something more. Something incredible. Something amazing. It is our conversion, right? That is the point at which we become something both more and less. Something different. We drop to our knees. Absolutely amazed, astounded, and grateful. That's what Simon Peter experienced while Christ is sitting there releasing him from the Roman taxes. Releasing him from his doubt and fear. Releasing him from his scheming and conniving. Why do I bring all this up? Well, number one, it gives you a good picture of Simon Peter. But number two, it's exactly what he does up on the mount. He has been converted. He has become a follower of Christ, and he's following him. And he sees these great people from his history. Moses and Elijah. Hey, that's huge. And he gets excited. And he wants to build 3 tabernacles. And he's all pumped up. And the cloud descends. And Peter is probably standing there going, "Oh man, I just did it again." Why do they drop to their knees? Why did they drop to their knees? They began to take their focus off of Christ. Not that Moses and Elijah shouldn't be honored or anything of that nature, but they're not on the same level as Christ. They're not the Messiah. They were prophets. Peter just got done saying who he thought Christ was, and then turns him back into a prophet. Peter drops to his knees in both amazement and understanding, yet again. What does that symbolize? That is the Christian walk. We get up, we straighten up, we walk right, we walk in the order of God, and we do it for a little while, and we stumble. We trip and fall. And we can make a choice. We can either choose to fall off the earth, or as an AA person would say, fall off the wagon. And not attempt to get back on. Or we can actually sit there and realize that we've done wrong, ask forgiveness, and move forward. but they put this reading right here. Why would we as a church actually have this reading at this time of the year? Could there possibly be any reason for that, I wonder? Well, that's right. Ash Wednesday, where we hear that it's not about us. Where we hear that from dust we came and to dust we shall return. They have this there, showing us Simon Peter, one of the greatest people we know in the New Testament. Somebody that many people relate to because he makes foibles just like us. He has issues just like us. He has realizations just like us. It pulls us into the story. It gives us a person to emulate. If the greatest person outside of Christ, or shall we say one of the greatest people outside of Christ in the New Testament, does these things and comes to repentance, why shouldn't we? You know that bird's actually screaming, "Let me in," right? He's staring right at you guys.
It's a herald of spring.
We have this pattern set before us as we prepare to enter into the season of Lent. Stop and think about the attitude, or better yet, pull out a concordance, find all the passages where Peter is prominent in, and look at how he's portrayed. I'll give you another one. We've heard the fish one. We heard the one for today. Was it not Peter also who at the washing of the feet says, "Lord, you shall not wash my feet"? Well, Peter, then if I don't wash your feet, you've got no part of me. Remember that? Peter's not a bad guy to follow. He does a lot of the same things we do. And by follow, I don't mean worship, but pay attention to what he does. You're going to see a lot of yourself in him. So if you look back at the first collect I read, just to give you a little hint here, you find it in basically the first two lines of the collect. It's not about us. It's not about what we can accomplish. It's not about what we can do. It's about being on the mount and realizing only at the end what's right before us. Being on the mount and seeing Christ transfigured and not recognizing the importance of it until we have this voice from on high tell us, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." What's the other part of that?
Listen to him.
Listen to him. I imagine that Peter at that moment turned a lot like Britney Spears and said, "Oops, I did it again." Listen to the words of the gospel. Prepare your hearts for the journey of Lent. And don't forget Peter, who was not too proud to drop to his knees in anguish when he realized he was going the wrong way. Better yet, It's summed up by last week's sermon, right? The truth will set you free. In the meantime, it's going to tick you off.